the Lord.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this privilege to proclaim words of life. Our prayer is, Lord, that this message might find a very special place in our hearts for these times in which we live. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. The title of our message for this afternoon is The Holy Spirit and the Last Days. The Holy Spirit and the Last Days. For our guest, we have been talking for a number of weeks on God, the Holy Spirit. This continues in that train of thought. I'd like to let you know that we won't complete this message. There's probably two other parts to go with it. So if questions are not answered, it's probably par for the course. If you know me, we will talk about some of the answers and in the message to follow. The Holy Spirit and the last days. The last days. Three scary words. Our church tends to talk about the last days a lot. Why do we talk about such things? Scary words, the last days. But I'm finding that maybe we are not so far off the mark. In fact, one of the members called me this past week and said there's going to be a program on television dealing with the topic of prophecy and the last days. I did not get to see it, but just the same, my mind took me back to about a year and a half, to this particular program. It was on CNN. The interviewer was Kara Phillips, who was having a major discussion on the topic, the last days. She was interviewing Jerry Jenkins, who you know is the author or co-author of the Left Behind series. And also she was interviewing Joel Rosenberg, and also a religious author. And they both were citing their beliefs about the rapture based on the conflicts in the Middle East. And at one point, Phillips asked Joel Rosenberg this. She says, "Should I start taking care of the business and telling people that I love, that I'm sorry for all the evil things that I've done?" And Rosenberg replied, "Well, that'd be a good start." And then Phillips asked Joel Rosenberg, she says, "Are we living in the last days? I mean, let's talk about specific signs to watch. You've written about them. What does the Bible have to say? Are we there yet?" And this is what Joel Rosenberg, who is the author of the Ezekiel option and the Copper Scroll, which I've not read either one of them, I'll be honest and let you know that. But in those novels, he tells of what he thinks about the events leading up to the return of Christ. And he says this: when Iran, Libya, Syria, Lebanon, and Russia begins to form an alliance against Israel, for these are the prophecies in Ezekiel 38 and 39, this is what I have based my novels on. And then he went to say this. Now, if you're asleep, I want you to wake up for this. He says that I have been invited to the White House. I've been invited to the Capitol. I've been invited by Congress, by the Israelis, by the Arabs, all wanting to understand the Middle East through the lens of biblical prophecy. And as I write these things, it almost appears that they just keep coming true. We're seeing Bible prophecy bit by bit unfold in the Middle East right now. And listen to this one. And he says, I've also been invited by the CIA. For they want to know your thoughts on biblical prophecy and where we are in the scheme of time. Lord, help us. You know what's happened? I've found, this is my take, that we as a church have to be careful. I'm finding people who are not Christians as interested in prophecy in the last days than we are. We are caught up into preaching and talking about felt needs. Oh, y'all didn't get that. That's where the world's going. Now, I do preach felt needs. I believe there's a place for them, but we cannot deal with those and forget about prophecy and forget about the last days. We cannot. A minister by the name of Richard Perry has written a book called The Complete Idiot's Guide to the Last Days, which he shares his thoughts regarding the second coming of Jesus. Now, in the city of Athens, Georgia, where he resides, he contacted 160 ministers, sharing with them his ideas on the return of Jesus. He personally contacted 86 of them, and those he could not contact, he sent a warning letter out to them, a warning of doom, talking about the second coming of Jesus. And he even wrote a letter to Mel Gibson telling him to produce a movie about the second coming. Oh, I hope y'all awake. The Holy Spirit in the last days. You know, when I Googled the last days, you can go and do the same thing, I came up with all kinds of stuff. All the typical Armageddon, Judgment Day. But I came up with names like Adolf Hitler and Kurt Cobain. I said, what's his name doing there? And I had to ask one of my parishioners in the first service, and he knew why. He used to work in radio. Kurt Cobain, in the Google, and his name comes up for the last day. It's because he died of suicide. And we seem to rally around folk that are a little different who commit suicide. Lord, help us. Holy Spirit in the last days. What does our prophet have to say? What does the Bible have to say about the last day? We'll go to the Bible. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. You know it. I'm going to read it in the interest of time. It says that, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, heady, haughty, headstrong, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. From such people turn away. And then Jesus says in Matthew chapter 24, if you start at verse 3, the disciples ask him, what shall be the sign of these things? What shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? And you know the first thing that Jesus says? Let no one deceive you. Let no one deceive you. First things out of his mouth. And you can read on with this. Is not a sermon about Matthew 24. You can read all of those different things that Jesus says up to verse 14. And he says, and this kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all the nations, and then shall the end come. What does our prophet have to say? She says this: before the last developments of the work of apostasy, there will be a confusion of faith. One truth after another will be corrupted. Signs of the Times, May 28, 1894. After the truth has been proclaimed as a witness to all nations, every conceivable power of evil will be set in operation, and minds will be confused by many voices crying, "Lo, he is, Christ is here, lo, he is there." "This is the truth," she says. "I have the message from God. He has sent me with great light, and there will be a removing of the landmarks and an attempt to tear down the pillars of our faith." Seventh volume of the Bible Commentaries, 985. "In the future, every deception of every kind is to arise, and we want solid ground for our feet." Evangelism 2:24. Now, if the CIA is listening, if they download this sermon, I got something to say to you. You know, I'm getting in deep waters. You mess with them. The last days is about a spiritual warfare. It's about a great controversy between good and evil, and I don't mean Darth Vader and the Force, but it's between Christ and Satan, and the battle is for your mind, and you are not going to fix it with the military. I'm sorry, if you're in the military, I don't mean any harm. You're not going to fix it with the military. You're not. There's no organization that can fix the last day issues. And I know you can get you a shelter. I know you can get a cave. I know you can buy your foodstuffs to put up for survival. Some of you might even think you need to get some guns. It won't do any good. Now, I don't care if you get foodstuffs and put them away, because there might be an earthquake. Amen? But if you're getting those things so that you can win the battle, you're mistaken. Oh, I know it's going to get quiet when I said that, but that's okay. This war is won through being filled by God the Holy Spirit. How do I know? Zechariah 4 and verse 6. "Not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit." That's why I said the Holy Spirit in the last day. That's how you're going to win the battle. And we are so asleep. Oh, I know this is a rough one today. We think that there's something we can get together to win the battle. The Holy Spirit is God. Eternal, all-powerful, everywhere at the same time, all-knowing. Is the person, has intellect, has emotion. And in fact, we said that in the other sermons that we couldn't even get a prayer through without God the Holy Spirit in Romans 8 and verse 26. The Holy Spirit takes our prayer and groans them to the Father. And the last day, God and His church will be victorious. Let me show you something in the next 15 minutes. Revelation 3, the scripture that was read, I'm not going to read it again in the interest of time. The Bible shows us a last day church. And folk, I did not want to read that this week. I didn't want to bring it to you. But I had to. This is the last day church that will be victorious. And know how Jesus describes this church? He says, I know your works. They're neither hot nor cold. That's the church. You know, let me say something. The Church of Laodicea, you've heard of it, because there's a million pamphlets that come in my mail and around the church saying that the Adventist church is Laodicea. How many have heard that? You know you've heard it. I personally think there's Laodicea in every church. I think it's a spirit. I don't believe it's any one entity in the church. I believe it's a spirit. It's a spirit of warmness. It's not cold and it's not hot. It's warm. I don't know if anything's worse than warm, because there's no glow to it. There's no zeal to it. There's no spirit to it. I have determined I don't ever want to be in a church where there's no emotion, no zeal, no crying, and no shouting. Oh, help me. I know that some of you lost your way right on that one. I don't want to ever be in a church where no one will cry. Something during the year ought to make you cry. Something during the year ought to make you shout. You know what that shows? That shows you're either hot or cold, but you're not warm. You know what warm and warm does? Nothing. I don't want to be in a church with all warm people. That doesn't do a thing. At least be cold or hot. God really doesn't want us to be either one of those. He's not telling us to be either. But he certainly doesn't want us to be lukewarm. When I read this, I was embarrassed. I said, Lord, I don't want to read this. This can't possibly be. That's not Fallbrook. That's definitely not Fallbrook. Because if nothing else, it's not Fallbrook's leader, because I'm going to get happy. It's not me. I'm passionate. I'm going to be hot or cold. It's not here. I didn't want to read that. But it's a group that thinks they have it all together. They're rich, increased with goods. They don't need a thing. John the Revelator saw a church in decline with no real works, a church so weak that it would be defective in its feelings. It's a church that's complacent. It's a church that makes God sick. And we know God can't really get sick, but I think you've got the reference in the scripture. What kind of lackluster church is this? Our prophet, in fact, saw the church as an insipid religious experience. Those who profess to keep the law, but yet they are not doers of the law. A self-deluded, selfish, self-inflated church. And I said, Lord, I pray that I don't belong to that kind of church. And then I had to keep reading in Revelation 3. Because I read that where Jesus says, I will spew you, I will spit you out of my mouth, that the original language has the connotation that I am about to spew you out of my mouth. And I needed to see that, because it let me know that there was a chance I'm about to. So it gives me a chance now to get some zeal. And zeal, I'm not talking about loudness, all right? I just happen to get loud. And loud doesn't mean zeal. I'm talking about true love for Christ and His church and people. And there's hope. Because God in the last days is going to take that church and do something to those who are willing. In fact, we'll have another sermon on it. He's going to rain on us. He's going to give us the latter rain. And that church is going to get real power. And that's how the church gets through the last days. Because God, the Holy Spirit, rains down power on that church. And they go out and witness like never before. And so, he pronounces, in verse 21, to him that overcomes, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, how in the world does that kind of church overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and the righteousness of Christ. That's what I'm going to talk about in some sermons to come. The righteousness of Christ. It's not anything that we do. It's Him. All Him. Oh, how we need to know more about the righteousness of Christ. Do you know something I've tried to do? And I do it occasionally. I have to catch myself. I get up out of the bed in the morning. I said, I'm going to be good today. You don't have to admit that you've tried to do that. And it's usually a disaster. I've figured out I can't be good enough. I can't turn the switch on and off. So I need a power greater than myself. I need the righteousness of Christ. I need the mind of Christ, and I need it every single day. You leave me to it, I'm going to mess it up. Come on, y'all been there. You don't have to, you know it's true. We'll talk about that in the future as we talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You know the Laodicean church? It's something else. But the greater the struggle, the greater the reward. And we need so much more of the blessings of God. And He's going to give it to us. Are you going to accept it? Are you going to accept His power? So that work can be finished and Jesus might come. I'm going to end with a story. Again, it's not the end of the sermon, but I'll have to stop here. You know, preachers look for stories. When I saw this, I know you've read it, but I just had to use it. In fact, Pastor Lynn, the story comes from Oregon, from Western Oregon University. Women's softball. The game was going to decide who was going to go to the playoffs. In fact, the young lady stepped to the plate with a 153 batting average. Now, you may not know anything about baseball, but that's not good. And it was unlikely that anything too good was going to happen. But she stepped up to the plate with a 153 batting average and hadn't hit a home run in 4 years. Stepped up to the plate, took the swing, and you know what I'm going to say already. Home run. Went trotting around the bases. For those that don't know baseball, you got to go and hit the bases, right? And come around to the home plate. She got close to first base and stopped to look at the ball going out there.
and miss the first base, tagging the first base. Noticed that, turned around to come back to first base, and her knee went out on her. Couldn't get back. Literally crawled back to first base to tag the base. But there's still three others to go. Could not get up. Now, it is I've never heard of. The umpires got together and they talked and tried to figure out what to do. Now, the only people on the field is the opposing team, and she was up at the plate. That's it. The game, this was going to settle it. It was a couple of men on base. This was going to settle it. They would win the game. She couldn't get around the base. The opposing team decided that they would take her and lift her up and carry her around to touch the other bases. And they lost the game. Have you ever heard anything like that in all your life? You know, Jesus, you know where I'm going. You can't get around those bases. You've tried. You've come up limping every time. May not even got to first base. Who do you think will carry you around the base to home? Jesus. He's willing to sacrifice. He was willing to come down here and sacrifice all of heaven that you might get around to the end. He's going to do it. He's going to carry you. He's going to take you where you need to be. Do not be discouraged. He'll take you. He'll get you to home. How many believe that? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the ministry of God the Holy Spirit in our lives. We're in the last days. And we're not going to be able to handle the last days ourselves. We need God the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need to be able to say the right things at the right time in the right way. We need to be able to go and do and respond, not according to our will, but according to your will. Oh, how we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, you've said in these last days that the latter rain's going to fall. Let it fall on me. Let it fall on Fallbrook. And let it fall on the community of God. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in these last days so that people might be saved. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.